BFFT. Now, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, live from the Satellite Tavern, here's Sean Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
What is a brand worth? What is reach on social media worth? Our next guest has been able to quantify some of that in his professional life. Jeremy Darlow has written three books, including one called Athletes Are Brands Too. He is a brand consultant to athletes, former marketing director of Adidas Football. He's been on this show. He consults with a number of college programs. And over the weekend, he had an interesting thread involving the Mountain West Conference and the Pac-12. How do you compare these two things? Because Bob Thompson, my TV world friend, the former retired Fox Sports Network president who's been on the show numerous times, he'll count TV households and viewership. But I have commented to people in the last couple weeks that, gosh, the Mountain West fans aren't as loud on social media. It's anecdotal, right? I'm not hearing from them like I heard from Big 12 fans, for example, when the Pac-12 was at odds with the Big 12. And now the Pac-12 is in a war with the Mountain West Conference. But still, the Mountain West Conference fans on social media, they aren't loud. I don't know how else to put it. Jeremy Darlow, marketing and brand expert, joining us now. Are you still living in Portland? Are you in the area? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Just up the street from you, I'm sure.
Well, I'm at Satellite Tavern if you want to come down and have this conversation in person right on Interstate. Give me an idea, Jeremy. Like, you know, when I say, hey, I don't feel like the Mountain West Conference fans are loud on social media, what are you really seeing as you quantify that?
Yeah, I mean, social is important these days, right? I think a decade ago, people would probably cut your legs out a little bit when you said, you know, social is going to be the future and it's all digital and yada yada, right? But at the end of the day now, when you think about college sports, kids are trying to build their brands. Social matters. Engagement matters. When you're trying to get endorsement deals for these kids, social is one of the first things that those brands are going to ask the athlete themselves to give them analytics around. You know, like it's very important. And I'm not in the position that Bob's in to be able to speak to TV ratings and such, but if you look at the most watched college football games through week four, a lot of those teams that are drawing those ratings are the ones with the biggest followings on social media. So there does appear to be a correlation. And I think to your point, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, the Mountain West is just not, it doesn't have that same level of reach that even a Pac-12 with two teams would.
You took a look at the new Pac-12 7 against the Mountain West holdover 7. You looked at likes. You looked at views. You looked at Instagram and Twitter. You looked, with the followings. And, you know, what did you come away thinking or seeing?
Well, I think if you really step back and you look at this thing from 30,000 feet, people are comparing the two and they're saying that the Pac-12 with this new group of seven that they have is just the Mountain West 2.0. And, you know, that's really not the case. I think it's pretty clear if you look at the numbers, the most popular teams from the Mountain West are now part of the Pac-7 or the Pac-12, whatever they're going to call themselves, right? And that's important because, again, you know, one of the books that I wrote was Brands Win Championships. That was my first book, and it was about team marketing and using marketing to build successful programs. And the cycle in my head is brand perception leads to better recruiting. Better recruiting, as you and I know, leads to more wins. More wins leads to money, and that money funnels back into that brand. And the cycle continues over and over again, right? So if you think about it, the Pac-12 has almost 12 times the amount of likes on their announcement of the seven that they have now versus the Mountain West saying we're staying together. And that's important to me. I'm a marketer, right? I nerd out on this stuff. But that signals to me that there's passion around the Pac-7 as it stands, and that same passion does not exist in the Mountain West. So when you think about brand strength, and its correlation to recruiting. If I'm a recruit, I'm 18 years old, and I got a chance to play at Boise State versus, you know, one of the remaining Mountain West schools, I'm going to think about what kind of viewership, what kind of reach, what kind of passion do they have around their schools. That's going to play a part in my decision, because I know NIL is a thing, and I can make money off of my name, image, and likeness now.
Jeremy Darlow with us. Jeremy, I'm looking at Instagram followings only here, and you listed, you know, the Mountain West and Pac-12 schools, and Oregon State has the biggest Instagram following in either conference. Washington State is second, then Boise State, then Fresno State, all of those Pac-12 schools. What jumped out at me was San Diego State. I expected a bigger following, and yet they're sitting below Hawaii. Is that a case of maybe they just haven't embraced the power of Southern California and their large student body? Or what do you think when you see a school like that that looks like it's underperforming?
It, more than likely. You know, I think it's football. I don't know their priorities, but it could just be, to your point, basketball might be the priority there. And all of these schools, for the most part, unless you're talking about the 1%, the Ohio States and the, you know, the USC's of the world, they're going to have small staff. And I would never look at that number and suggest that the people aren't doing their job. I know full well that they have 1,000 things on their plate, and this might just not end up being a priority at the end of the day. I'm not surprised by Hawaii, though. The reason I'll tell you that is because from a brand perspective, when you're trying to build a brand, you're looking for pockets of passion. And when you're in Hawaii, you love, I mean, that culture, if you've ever visited, you know, they're so proud of what they represent. They're so proud of their culture. That's the game, right? That's the game in town. The football program there, that's who you're going to support. So I'm not surprised that they're up there ahead of San Diego State and ahead of Utah State. That's, you know, there's passion there.
Jeremy Darlow with us, brand consultant for athletes, former marketing director at Adidas Football. Jeremy, let me just ask you from a vantage point of a guy who's watched Oregon's brand get built. And, you know, Oregon and Oregon State have the same media market. Oregon and Oregon State, you know, exist 44 miles apart from each other. And yet people will ask me, why did the Big Ten have to have Oregon and have no interest in Oregon State? Can anything be done by Oregon State? Can you close the gap, build the brand? You know, if they said, Jeremy, we want to hire you, we want to raise our profile and build our brand, how easy is it to move the needle, or how quickly can you move the needle?
Well, I'll start by saying they don't have the same media market. And technically they do, right? But Oregon has built a national brand. So their media market is all 50 states, right? And that is not an overnight thing. John, you and I remember when they started to change their uniforms and everybody was giving them a hard time about how ugly they were and all of the things. I can guarantee you they sat in that boardroom and they said, we need to do something that gets national media attention, because we don't have the budget to go pay for those eyeballs. But if we get the media to write about us, those are free eyeballs. That's free money. That's free attention, free awareness. They did that over and over and over again until the nation was talking Oregon. And then that correlated with recruits talking Oregon, recruits. If you remember, and I know you tracked this, John, back in the day, they were not getting five stars. It was slowly but surely that they would get threes and fours, and then the five started to come. This thing has been built over 15 to 20 years. Anybody can do it. That's why I wrote Brands Win Championships in the first place. It was inspired in a lot of ways by Oregon. The first sentence that I had in my book was that Oregon in the next 10 years is going to win more games than any other program in the country. Now, is that accurate? No, they were not. Alabama existed, right? But they were number one in the Pac-12 by a long, long shot. And it's because of the brand they built. That in and of itself is proof that it can happen. That's Eugene, Oregon, John, right? We're not talking about Los Angeles. We're not talking about Miami, Florida. We're talking about Eugene, Oregon, built an absolute power of a brand. Anybody can do it. Does it take money? Does it take resources? To a degree, but you can also work smarter, not harder. That is an opportunity for anybody. And I've been begging in my head and, you know, with my fans that are in my friend circle, that Oregon State do the same thing. And they're trying. They're much stronger than they have been in the past. And if you look at their programs, baseball is top tier. Women's basketball is top tier. Gymnastics is top tier. It's some of these bigger revenue-driving sports that, you know, this move to a Pac-7 might not be the worst thing, because all of a sudden you're the bigger fish in a smaller pond. That in and of itself could help.
Jeremy Darlow, our guest, he's written three books, including The Darlow Rules. You know, so you're telling me it's more than just Phil Knight? I mean, I know Phil Knight helps, right? When you have a donor that you can make one call to and you can renovate your stadium or build a football complex, that helps. But if you're trying to keep pace, it would seem to me that more than ever, this brand stuff and the contributions that you can control and the ability to get to social media and have somebody who's an expert handling your Instagram and your Twitter and your socials, it matters more than ever.
1,000%. I mean, let's just take a little slice of marketing these days. Think about creators and influencers, right? These
right.
folks that have massive followings on Instagram and X and TikTok and YouTube. Those folks are dying for content, and they have huge audiences that are dying for their content. So, you know, you get an Oregon inviting you to a football game, they're going to be there, and they're going to capture that entire event, that entire experience. They're going to have a blast, more than likely, and that's going to go up on their channel to their millions of followers, right? There's ways to bring attention to the brand that are not going to require hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, let me say, let's back up. One of the things that Oregon did that was one of the most disruptive things that they ever did was put a 50-foot billboard in Times Square. And that is not cheap, right? So I also don't want to say they didn't spend, and it was strictly strategy,
right?
That the resources didn't support that.
Sure.
But at the same time, they didn't have to change their uniforms and turn them into something no one's ever seen before. That was a risk that they were willing to take. And if you want to build a brand, you have to stand out. Standing out is never easy. It comes with risk.
Jeremy, let me just shift gears here a little bit. We're watching a college athlete at UNLV who, mm-hmm. you know, says he was promised an NIL deal. He, you know, leaves, you know, in week four of the season, says, hey, I'm not going to play because I didn't get what I was promised. I have to wonder, like, did you see that coming when you start working with athletes, when you start talking about building their brands and helping them recognize the power of their brand? Do you see that, you know, being one of the potential pitfalls of athletes getting empowered?
Well, I would never say athletes getting empowered is a pitfall, right? I've never correlated
right.
the two. What I said early on, and I've taken a step back from the space because I just, quite honestly, it's not where I would like the focus to be. I got into it. I wrote Athletes for Brands 2 to educate. That was it. And it was, I'm not here to teach you how to go and get a bunch of money right now. I'm here to teach you how to build your brand and your reputation while you have people picking up your phone call. While you're wearing that jersey, people care. And if they care, you can set yourself up for life, right? This concern that I had going into it was there was going to be a lot of people coming in to just try to money grab and make money off of these kids, which I think, I have no proof, but it feels like a lot of people have come in and a lot of people are trying to make money off of this new world.
Sure.
The other side of it that I was worried about is suddenly your eye as a student athlete or a student in general is no longer on the education. It's no longer on how do I build a future with what I'm doing on this campus. It's how do I make as much money as I can while I'm here? And I can't fault anybody for that because, you know, when you and I are in school, $50 was like $1 million, right? I was eating at least top ramen every night for dinner. So I totally get it. That's where my concern lies though, right? Is if the average student is going to turn their head for $50, $100,000, I mean, absolutely the train stops, right? All bets are off. I'm going to do whatever I can to make that money. And again, I can't fault anybody for it, but there has to be a balance, and education cannot be the thing that gets lost in this whole thing.
Yeah. And I keep thinking, you know, I like a marketplace in which a college athlete can control their brand, build their brand, benefit from their brand. I also, though, don't like the idea of, you know, unrestricted free agency. So I'm interested in seeing athletes maybe, commit to being at a school or commit to being at a with a football program for more than just one season, because we've lost some of the innocence of college athletics, and it feels like it's just professional sports off the rails.
Yeah, I would say, you know, this isn't my expertise, but I would say we lost the innocence. We just didn't realize it a long, long time ago.
Probably, and now right.
Now we're just getting to the point where the student athletes are benefiting from some of that innocence that was taken away. We can't fault – well, I shouldn't say we. I can't fault a student athlete doing what they think is best for them financially. If the money is going to be there, it might not be there tomorrow, right? So you and I would do, if you get an offer, I get an offer for a new job, it's going to be a lot of money, we have families. You gotta think about it, right? That's going to come into play. And you know, again, these are 18-year-old kids, 22 at the most. I'm 43, man. If you put $100,000 in front of me, I can't say that I wouldn't jump. So if you're 18, gosh, that's a hard thing to say no to.
Jeremy Darlow with us. Three books. Your second book, Athletes Are Brands Too. You do a lot of consultation where you talk with college athletes. You know, how has the understanding of that increased or improved over time? You know, when you walk into that room now, I think you're probably that first part of that talk with the athletes can't, you know, is it as simple and basic as it used to be, or are they pretty evolved now?
You know, it's interesting, John. I took a step back from all that. You know, I released a course that went with the book, and it had a lot of success. I had a lot of schools on board, and what I realized is I don't like where the industry is going, and it's got nothing to do with the people that are trying to help these kids and the administrations and what have you. It's got a lot to do with the people that are coming in out of the woodworks, right? And it's exactly what I was worried about going into NIL. It is a money grab in a lot of ways. And that's not to say that everybody's doing it for that reason, but you know, I think the thing that frustrates me about college athletics right now is it's about money, and that's all we talk about. It's all we hear. It's all that drives the clicks. And what about the education? And I know that sounds corny, but man, at the end of the day, what is a university if not a place or an entity for you to actually learn from and set yourself up for success long-term? What I used to tell these kids all the time is $5,000 might sound like a massive amount of money right now, but that's 1 month's rent in Manhattan. So you're not going to retire off that. You're not going to set yourself up for success for the long-term. What's going to set you up for success is your education. And I know that, again, that sounds hokey, but I feel like we've lost the point of all of this in a lot of ways. The one percenters were going to make money anyway. They're the ones making money now. These other kids that are making, you know, a couple $100 here and there, but they're spending a lot of their time trying to scrape and crawl to get that. I think that's unfortunate.
Jeremy, are you talking about, when you say where the industry's going, are you talking about agents, low-level agents, or are you talking about businesses and boosters, or is it some combination of those?
Well, I think it's all of it, right? I mean, it's everything is about and surrounds a core that is about money right now. And everything 30 years ago, and not to sound like the old man in the room, but it used to be about education for a lot of these kids. That's quite honestly why I love watching like Ivy League football. You know, at the end of the day, they're going to get more out of their degrees than anything else. So football is a nice to have for a lot of those kids. Right? That there's still some purity to that. I still love the idea that, you know what, class is going to be more important than the fourth quarter. That's gone, and that's been gone for a long time. There's no doubt about that. But I think we've never been this far from the classroom to the field, and that's a bummer. It's not the case everywhere. Again, I'll tell you, I have a relationship with certain programs across the country, and women's basketball at Oregon State are right down the street. That is a family. That is about taking care of those young women and making sure that they're set up for success. I just don't think you see that very often anymore. And that's not me saying that coaches are not doing that. It's the people, again, that have come in, they see the money there. They have dollar signs in their eyes. And you know, the education, the books, they take a back seat.
Jeremy Darlow, I appreciate you giving us your time and your expertise. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Good stuff there. We got some sad news in the world of sports. Is a report just breaking during that interview. Pete Rose has died. Pete Rose at the age of 83. Charlie Hustle, may you rest in peace. More ahead. Leave it here.